But Sim, do you remember how to hit the button?
I think it's already recording, right?
We're okay, rolling. Okay, all right.
Nice.
Okay, so Sim, how did...
Oh, I do.
I know. That's you have to speak say. Weirdly close.
Get right up on there.
And then you like feel like the reverberation of your breath.
No, I'm telling you, this is like this is my dream. This like a recording studio because I have that frustrate like I wish I were a musician kind of thing. So this
oh
is like,
really?
And so podcast is the only thing.
Wait, are what you a good singer?
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Well, I love music.
Yeah.
I don't really play an instrument, although I have started taking. I mean, that's not true. So I. My fiance gave me I call it a baby banjo for Christmas
oh my
last
God.
Year. It's like it's like
so
a ukulele, cool. but it's sort of a banjo.
She brought it.
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm like the worst. But so I started singing along to it and I've been taking singing lessons. I'm not going to sing for you now. And I probably will never sing in front of other people. Yeah. But anyway, I just think it's really fun. And I have a lot of friends who are musicians, but a podcast. This is like my radio dreams come true.
Have you been on a podcast before? Or is this your first time?
I was on Dinner Party Download.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, tonight we have Julia Stiles. I'm so excited. She flew in from Vancouver. And
just for the podcast, by the way.
Well, she may also really have a little bit of work to do here as well.
Yes.
But it is, I know that it was probably a huge inconvenience. And thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, it's fun. I like it.
All
like
we're going to do is just, we're just going to clog you over the head with something heavy later on.
Okay.
And wrap you up and keep you in my attic for a while.
And drug me so I start. Insisting that we do karaoke.
Did you tell your agents or anyone else that you were going to be doing this podcast today?
I was wondering why I had to go to a home, isolated home, all by
right.
myself.
Would that be a good thriller? Like somebody
but
who starts a podcast?
But I think you're pretty well-known. Like they would know if you
really?
had bodies in your basement.
Really?
Eventually, they'd
shoot.
I don't know about that. They don't know Anna that well then.
But... I don't know. Would is that a good thriller? Like, come over to my house for like
for
band
a podcast,
practice?
Sure, and then or band
or,
practice,
or, yeah, or like podcast or whatever. Like, I'm like, let's say you're not a famous person,
okay,
but you have some family money, and you know invite people over to your house under the guise of like let's do something creative, and then they kind of disappear.
I think that's happened quite a bit in this town in Los Angeles. Since, like,
no, that's true.
Since the 1970s, probably.
Right. That fella that. Phil Spector. Yeah, I guess it was a little Phil Spector.
Phil Spector, Charlie Manson, probably anything, anywhere in Laurel Canyon.
Well, you're very close to Laurel Canyon.
What are you saying?
Welcome, Julia. Okay, so wait, what were we talking about before? It was something more interesting than
how you do,
murdering.
Matt.
Oh, that's not interesting. No one wants to hear about that, do they? We'd rather hear about...
I want to hear more about the mini banjo.
Yes.
Oh, so... No, I mean, you just play chords on it. I'm not like Steve Martin or anybody. It's like a smaller instrument, so it's easy to carry with you on airplanes and traveling a lot, which I've been doing. So when you get lonely in your trailer or your hotel room, you can
play.
That's
just sexy.
Oh.
That is. That's
well,
like.
Well, maybe.
I don't have that ability to concentrate on something that's like not what, that doesn't involve me talking to people.
I only do it so I can sing along to it. And like. Yeah, I just...
So do you write your own songs?
I'm digging a hole for myself right now because it's like the more you talk about something,
yes,
you're going to have to...
At some point.
It's actually, I don't know, it's just something that I think is really fun. And so I probably... I'm coming out with a rap album. I will be spinning... It'll be dropping... No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. I was in.
I was so excited.
Yeah, but the look on your face was like, is she for real? Just go with it.
But do you write your own songs as well?
No. I'm talking like it's the equivalent of doing karaoke. Like it's just fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But Julia, you're recently engaged.
Yes.
Okay. Are you gonna do like bridesmaids? How do you feel? How do you feel about bridesmaids?
I don't know. Honestly, we are not. We are in the daydreaming. Like this would be really fun with all the. You know, stars in our eyes and I feel, and like birds flying. So I feel like, that was a cartoon reference. Anyway, I'm blissed out. I'm so happy. And I don't feel like in a rush to start making plans. And all I want is for us to not get crazy with wedding planning. And I know he wants that too. So it's really fun to be like,
cause people like me are like, well, where are you at in your planning? And you're like, we just fucking met.
Well, I'm, yeah.
I just got off a plane. Please don't fucking ask me about my wedding fucking plans.
I think it's the kind of thing where, like, once you set the date and commit to going for that, then maybe craziness ensues. But I feel like, can't you, it's your thing. Can't we just do whatever we want? I mean.
Yes, you can. That is, yes, you can. I mean, Chris and I eloped. It was so smart. It was our special day. And I just, I don't know. It didn't. Because people can't help themselves to bring their own stuff, their own needs subconsciously to, like, right, a right. wedding day. Whether it's, like, your aunt's, like,
I mean, in fairness, my mom and my future mother-in-law are really cool, and I don't feel any pressure in that way. We had an engagement party that was really lovely, and it was really small, and, like, my parents flew in, and two of my best friends flew up from L.A., and I was so, my heart was so swollen with joy and love that I was like, it was so great. And, like, if that could be a mini version of a wedding, great.
Yeah. I think, like,
in, like, the French Riviera. No, I don't know. But I don't know. Also, weddings, are really expensive. I mean, not that obviously it's worth it, but I don't know.
I don't know if it's worth it. And I also don't think that, they are a fortune, but I also think that, like, you can't worry about offending anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I also have heard, I've been to weddings where it seems like the bride and groom don't get to talk to each other the whole night. Yeah. Don't really want that. I don't know. I'm really happy. And like you were saying, I think as an actress, because you go to all these, you're lucky to go to, like, the movie premiere or, you know, get your hair and makeup done. Not lucky, but, you know, that's something that's part of your job. It doesn't become feel that like, I don't feel that need to, like, this is my day. Like, I want it to be just a fun party with all of our loved ones.
Yeah.
I'm actually interested. You asked her about bridesmaids and how she feels about bridesmaids and bridal parties in general. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them?
I've been a bridesmaid twice. Once I was a terrible bridesmaid. I was like, my cousin's wedding.
What do you mean a terrible bridesmaid? I do. Ooh, I like this story.
I had my aunt gave me a talking to.
Ooh, you dropped acid.
No, because I just bailed on. I was going through some in my life and just wasn't invested or wasn't a. I wasn't negative, but I just like the party bus on the wine tour at 10 o'clock in the morning. I was like, no thanks. I love my cousin dearly, but I just didn't want to do that. So I wasn't part of the team. And then the second time I was a bridesmaid.
Okay.
One of my best friends, I was a bridesmaid at her wedding and she was really cool about it. She was like, as long as you like pick a color in this scheme and get your own dress and be fine with it. I don't know. A lot of those traditions, I understand.
They're fucking stupid.
thank you. Okay. I was being diplomatic so as not to offend, the bridezillas out there. No, I think that a lot of those traditions are just like really old fashioned and you're kind of like, what? This doesn't make any sense.
For the party that we had that sort of made up for the wedding that our families didn't attend, I thought it was going to be an easy thing. I asked all the women to, because I started getting like questions about, well, okay, well, what should my attire be? And I just said, you know what? How about this? How about pick out a black dress that you love? Your sexiest black dress, the black dress that you just love. And that way I can pretend that all of the women there are my bridesmaids and we'll take one mass photo
I like that.
You know, me and 40 women or whatever. And I thought it was a good idea. I don't know. There's nothing easy about any of it. I mean,
feel like, because you've been, I don't know how long you've been married, but do you feel like...
I don't know either.
Remember virginity in high school or something? Like, I feel like the world, when I was a teenager in high school, the world was divided into the virgins and the non-virgins. And now I sort of understand this, like, divided into married people and not married people. Single people and
absolutely.
People who are dating and people who are in a committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's
suckers.
Then the kid factor gets brought into it. Oh, yeah. But when you talk about virginity, that reminds me of a word. And there's a lot of words that some people don't like, but I pride myself on being a sort of a word lover. Like, I don't mind moist or panties or, like, some people, you know, mind those words. But Hyman.
Do you know I had a babysitter whose last name was Hyman?
You did?
Yeah, her name. That's, I mean, I could be one of those family, like, apocryphal things. So maybe it was made up by my parents to scare me, but her name was Millie, like, Hyman.
Millie Hyman?
Millie Hyman. Mildred, guess was short for Mildred.
Hyman.
Millie Hyman.
And she was 12.
I barely remember because I think I was like 3 or something, but I've heard a lot of stories about her.
Hyman.
Yeah.
Why did, when we were creating the language for our genitalia, why is everything unbelievably unsexy? I mean, scrotum, hyman.
Wait, is scrotum sexy? Overall, like in general, when you see a scrotum, is that sexy?
No,
to you?
But it could be something like sexy or soft or something.
Girls are sitting around at brunch and they're
like, oh my God.
And Ryan's scrotum. I knew he was the one when I saw his scrotum.
Wait a minute. But don't forget about his taint.
Well, don't, but.
Oh my God. There's so many names for taint also. There's like taint, there's grundle, there's
we don't have
any nifkin.
Penis there's, yeah. is not a very like strong sounding word.
Well, do you like dick?
Yeah, I like dick better than penis.
Do you like cock?
I like cock better than penis.
Okay.
I like dick better than cock, but cock better than penis. Like, I tell my son, like, can you please hold your penis while you urinate so it doesn't get all over? So mommy doesn't have to use like a Lysol wipe. This is how we get our big sponsor, Lysol. It's a family show. No, what do you think
of slang of words?
Well, yeah, because vagina is kind of terrible. Labia, could you get any worse than labia?
You could, but it's all very technical. But slang, I mean. It took me a really long time to
say can you say it?
Pussy.
You did it.
Nice job.
Only because of Sarah Silverman. She liberated that word for me. And then now it's, but see, that's the thing about like dick and pussy. You can use it in so many different contexts. Like, mm-hmm. don't be such a pussy or stop right. being such a dick. And then obviously other contexts too that are more romantic, but, I agree with you.
I'm just looking forward to recording your honeymoon.
I can feel the heat radiating off of my face now.
I'm sorry.
Also because I feel like, do you now think about your in-laws? Like, oh, my mother-in-law might listen to this someday.
Oh, no. My mother-in-law is so awesome. She will love all this. It's my parents.
Okay.
That are the problem. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's my parents. Yeah. Yeah. They are. Yeah.
But they've got to be used to it by now.
Well, I just tell them to not listen. I tell them they can listen to a couple episodes, and they don't even know how to download a podcast anyway. So I broke them in really early with Scary Movie. My first gig was one of the most, at the time, offensive movies.
So how did you prep your parents for that?
I just said, there's going to be some scenes where Mom, when I tell you that you have to go to the bathroom, you have to go immediately.
Oh, this is like during like a preview screening?
Yeah.
And yeah. then.
And then that's... I made her go. And then she just didn't tell. She was so embarrassed that she didn't tell anybody around her that I was in this movie.
Why? It was a hugely successful movie. It was like iconic.
Yes, it was.
I mean, yeah.
It but broke every it record at the was... time.
But it was so, like, you know, grow. I mean, my mom was like, you know, you should be Anne Frank. You should be, like, an astronaut. You should be, like, I don't know, Eleanor Roosevelt. And instead I'm like, what about Cindy Campbell? From the I don't know. I dashed all her lofty hopes for my... She still has them, though. She's still like, Ani, one day... I know you're going to play like the role, you know, of a lifetime. I'm like, uh-huh. Okay, Mom. Uh-huh. Yes, I will.
She's still waiting for that day.
Oh, she's still waiting. She's going to have to wait a long ass time.
You could videotape or whatever videotapes. What are those anyway? Use an iPhone and record yourself in a mock production of something.
Yeah.
Just keep it would the totally, dream alive.
She would buy it.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do something together?
Oh, I know. You're in the biopic of
yeah, who?
Terry Gross.
Okay, great.
And you could just videotape yourself doing this. Nothing. Yeah. You could just videotape yourself doing this podcast and be like, "Mom, I'm in the running for an Oscar this year."
The Terry Gross story.
Yeah.
You know what? It's actually incredibly inexpensive to produce because it's just one studio.
Right. Just pull out the iPhone and have Sim tape it.
Absolutely.
We do have some questions for you.
Great. I hope I have some answers. I expected that.
Okay.
So we're doing a little segment called Not So Rapid Fire. Mm. It's different from Rapid Fire because it's not as
quick.
Right.
That's good. That means
just
I get
like
to like
Sim's thought process right now.
I get to like breathe and take my time.
Take
answering.
Your time with it. Exactly.
Sim, I don't have it.
I emailed it to you.
Here's an interesting question for you. I just called my own question interesting.
I love that.
Do you, because I always feel like anytime I ever do an interview, inevitably I walk away going,
I was
20 minutes later or an hour later, the next day. Usually I let it go by the next day. I think of a really brilliant answer. Do you ever have people walk out of here and you're like, wait, I wanted to ask you this?
Yes. Yeah. Sort of. Except
what's
so
for dinner?
Self-consumed. Yeah, it's gross.
No, that's way healthier.
It's not healthier.
It's more self-consumed to be replaying your answers in your head.
Oh, I've definitely walked out of every interview I've ever done and been like, that was idiotic. Why didn't I come up with something more clever? Oh, that was a trap I fell into. What am I doing? No, it turns out I am fascinated. That I'm not as interested. But the reason why I'm doing this podcast is because I am fascinated by people, which is why we reach out to strangers and stuff. But I also, I don't know, what also makes me feel, what the wonderful thing about the podcast has also been, and I've talked about this before, is been the idea that I get to have some degree of self-control.
Yeah.
Of control over the content a little bit, or at least how my voice is being heard, as opposed to in the past where an interview, a journalist will interview me and I'll be like, oh my God, why did I say that? And then the story will come out and I'll feel horrible about myself because it's, it doesn't feel like me or whatever. And this feels like this is something that I have a little bit more. This can be my sort of antidote to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Antidote.
It could be an antidote, but.
Yes, it could be.
This is when my mom gets embarrassed.
No.
We paid for your college education.
Yeah, absolutely. You're expressing yourself without any filter. That's great.
And and it feels like.
And you're getting to talk to people and
strangers.
Changing people's lives. So we have.
By the way, also, podcasts saves me. Your podcast, but also just podcasts in general, saves me.
What other ones do you love?
One of my very dear friends has a podcast called Mashup Americans that's all about immigrant families or mixed, a mashup. It's what the title is, Mashup Americans. It sort of celebrates multicultural families and multiculturalism.
That's cool.
Which, I'm sort of but then you realize that actually not everybody thinks that. It's very upbeat and celebratory, I would say. Isn't it cool that her co-host is has a son who's Corexican, as she calls it, meaning half Mexican, half Korean. Isn't it great that we have all these holidays that we can celebrate and all these different gatherings that we traditions that we can mix up? I think that's pretty obvious. And I was always jealous of that when I was younger. Like, I think in elementary school, I lied and said that my mom had given birth to me in France because I don't even know if she's ever been to France, but it was just because I felt so white and so vanilla that, like, anyway, but that was growing up in New York City.
I love, I feel like that's not so obvious. As like a first grader, like smoking a cigarette and being like, no.
Yeah. Right. My mother was Italian. Yeah, exactly. No, I am half French. What other ones? Dinner Party Download's a good one. Alec Baldwin's is a good one.
I like that one too. Yeah. A lot.
But you know, it's my favorite thing to listen to making dinner. It's my favorite thing to listen to waiting, you know, at an airport.
Or even on a plane.
I listen when I'm
traveling or when I'm driving. That's my favorite thing to do. I don't even listen to music as much anymore.
Yeah. It's like radio. It takes the place.
Exactly.
The radio.
Love it.
Okay. Now we are going to move on to a segment called Rapid Fire or Not So Rapid Fire, depending on your mood.
Okay.
Okay. This is a series of questions.
Is it called Not So Rapid Fire or can I choose Rapid Fire or Not So Rapid Fire?
Well, I think there are some questions that are Rapid Fire that are probably one word answers.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's best if I don't overthink things, but go for it.
Number one, does humming or whistling bother you?
No. I often...
Great.
You're like, shut. So if you want to hum while I'm speaking, that's fine. No, I do that. I hum and whistle a lot if I'm nervous.
Really?
And in fact, I do that a lot walking down the street, and then it looks like I'm talking to myself. Actually, more like, yeah, humming.
Like, what do you mean? Can you give us a little example? Like, you're walking down
the street. Well, haven't you ever seen people walking down the street, and they're listening to their headset, like an iPhone like thing, little, and like then they're in, like, the soundtrack of their life, their own music video? Mm-hmm. I do that without the headset or the headphones.
God, I envy that.
I mean, do other people humming and whistling?
Yeah.
Depends on the person, maybe. And the context. Like, if they were whistling on an airplane, I probably would be like, but.
You know what? That is kind of annoying.
I'm always impressed with people who can actually whistle it, like the tune, you know?
I think whistling is more fun for the whistler as opposed to the whistly.
Mm-hmm. I was walking down the street.
The whistly.
That's true. It's not the listeners. I was walking down the street the other day with my fiance, and legitimately, this sounds so stupidly like it was in a romantic comedy, but it happened. I was unwittingly humming a song, and I must have been going on for like 10 minutes, and eventually he just looked at me and was like, what are you singing? Meaning that we hadn't been talking for like 10 minutes because I was just singing whatever song we had heard in a store somewhere.
Okay, so... We know that you're a huge Mets fan.
Me too, by the way.
Oh, good.
I'm from Long Island.
Fuck you, Sam.
Oh, there you go.
If you are a baseball player.
That's the only reason to be a Mets fan. Just kidding.
If you're a baseball player, what position would you play? We also have a follow-up question, but we'll get to that.
Okay, outfield's probably boring, but that means you're a good hitter. So that's...
Or you could be really speedy too.
Yeah.
They have a lot of fast people in the outfield as well.
Yeah. Don't try to influence
her. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Pitching, very stressful and bad on your rotator cuffs. Right. Catching, you have to wear that you're squatting the whole time and you have to wear like, I'm doing process of elimination.
And there's a lot of pressure.
Right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure too because you're controlling the entire game.
Yeah.
So you have to worry about like, you know, the defense and the offense and worry about the pitcher as well and everything else. The catcher's
a tough
position.
I'd say like a shortstop or second base.
Ooh, so you're really athletic.
No, only this is a fantasy right now. Yeah. Why do I have to? You were saying realistically, what would I play?
No, just your fantasy.
Yeah, it would be shortstop. But also, by the way, I am a huge baseball fan. But baseball is for me like Valium. Like I don't, guys. If you tell a guy that you're a baseball fan, they're like throwing out statistics and athletes' names, and it's a lot of.
I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. This is not that type of show.
I know, but
I don't play that game. And I listen to baseball on the radio.
Wow,
and,
wait, you're a real fan then?
Well, but it's like a weird, it's nostalgic for me. It's like, and it lulls me into like this, it's like, like you just shot heroin or something. Like I don't need to, I imagine, I've never done that. I don't, it's like, yeah, it just is, I find it really soothing and a fun game to watch, but I don't get bro-y about, RBIs.
I've never had like mental envy before. I want to know how to calm my brain down like that. Because Chris,
Howie Rose,
my
listen
husband
to Howie
can
Rose.
Do the same
wow,
thing.
You know Harry Rose?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's
oh,
why
I grew up yeah. listening to Harry Rose. Yeah. Yeah, amazing.
He was the announcer in yes. New York.
And he passed
you remember
away.
Ralph? Do you remember Ralph Kiner?
No.
Okay, he did the games on Channel 9, WOR.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So we're gonna go. Sorry, this
okay,
is when
three.
I
three.
All right, we're gonna stop. Question. We'll stop.
Okay,
talking.
Here's a follow up. You're sitting behind the Mets dugout at Citi Field.
Okay.
You have a huge wad of chewing tobacco stuffed in your cheeks, so you're feeling a weird tobacco buzz.
Mm-hmm.
You notice third baseman David Wright checking you out by the on the deck circle, which I don't know what that is.
by the on deck circle, yeah, I get yep. it.
He scribbles something onto a baseball and tosses it over to you. You look at the ball and it says, "Save your spit, hot stuff." Star pitcher Bartolo Colon.
Cologne.
Oh, poor guy. He's always being called Colon.
Hand you a Sharpie. What do you write back?
He wrote, "Save your spit, hot stuff."
Uh-huh. And listen, it's a tense game.
I would
You got...
Right. This is a rapid fire answer.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on the game, you dirty perv. Because the implications of, I mean, and a picture of my engagement ring. No, but I mean, yeah, save your spit means like instead of chewing tobacco, save your spit for what? That's where my mind went.
We wrote this with just you having just huge wads of chewing tobacco. So
the save your spit was your line. Huh?
That's amazing.
That was that's all amazing. You.
Like I could sort of insult his performance and then call him a perv.
Do you say something like,
because they like that.
They do like that. It motivates them.
I'm not like, oh, baseball player. Yeah, right. Totally.
I know. Well, you probably also wouldn't be like stuffing your cheeks with a ton of chewing tobacco either.
No, probably not. I think I'm like sort of getting a little nauseous.
I know.
Thinking about it.
I was thinking like you could say something like, well, it'll include a little vomit.
Right. Right.
Go win this for us.
Yeah.
That's a lot to write on a ball. Okay, we can move on to the next one. You're at a Hollywood party.
Mm.
You see an actor you really admire across the room. You're looking at him. He makes eye contact with you. He gives your body a once-over, like this, with his eyes, and then proceeds to give you a half-smile head jerk. What do you do?
I already hate him. I mean, I already am so bored with this guy.
I know, but it's such a disappointment because you really liked his performance,
right.
And you've been watching his show obsessively.
Right. You lost me. I would totally walk up to him, not say a word, not introduce myself, and just say, "You lost me at the what was it? The nod, the
perfect
head
answer,
jerk? Yeah,
head jerk, perfect answer,
the head jerk.
Great job, you A plus."
And then yeah, if he had like a witty response, maybe the conversation would continue. But no, that's not.
I know. Have you gotten that before? Head jerk. I got it once. This is actually a question.
I don't think it's a Hollywood thing. I think that's just a certain type of guy.
I got it once from an actor that I really did admire at a Hollywood party, and I was like, oh, I felt so deflated. I was like, head jerk, huh?
Yeah, right.
Well, I guess you're a disappointment.
What would the caption to that head jerk be? As a guy, what would the what's the caption?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, what's up? I know you know me. And I know you. We should.
Oh yeah, I guess the whole
get together.
We're in that we're recognizing.
Like, yeah, we're yes, exactly. Like,
oh really?
That changes it a little bit.
We know that we are both in the same profession.
Oh, took it as like an insult. I took it as like, you know, I'm more powerful than you are. Head jerk. That's how I took it. Mm. But you,
but
you're
what
saying
if, oh my
that
god,
it's
what if
a
in
different?
A different version of that scene in a movie, in his inner monologue was like, oh my god, that's Anna Faris. Oh my god, oh my god, look cool. What's up?
And he's just trying to play it cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
That could be it too. That could be it also.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt that was the thing. But maybe you're right. Maybe it was like more.
Well, you did say that, you know, that he checked out her body first, right?
Yes, in this version.
Right, in this version.
Oh, it's like, Isn't there like, aren't there books that guys read about that thing? Like if you like undercut her and make her feel insecure by looking her up and down and vulnerable.
Yeah, it's called negging. Oh, there's, my God, there's a term really? For it. Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go slit my wrist right now.
I know.
I get, but you're saying it wasn't even a, like, not even just a stranger, but like in like an industry thing. I get way more starstruck with, or like nervously excited about and sort of in awe of musicians than I do mm-hmm. with actors. So if it were a famous musician that did that, I don't know. At this point, I'm newly engaged, you guys. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. And musicians, I have my own.
The worst. Way worse. on par with actors. I don't know.
Well, Anna talks about the fact that musicians are on a list of professions that you should never date.
Right.
Yeah.
Along with magicians.
Yeah, magicians, number one.
Have you ever dated a musician? A magician?
No, I haven't ever dated anybody.
Okay.
I went from like one, like from whomever would have me for a long period of time to the next person who would have me for a long period of time.
Aww.
But I have a very tight vagina. Okay. So here's a question from one of our fans at Anna K. Ferris on Twitter wants to know.
Not you on Twitter. That's somebody else on Twitter?
It might be me.
Okay.
Have you ever been interested in becoming a falconer?
No, because I do know what that is. Not until just now. Is that a real?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I've seen it. I've seen it in London, I think. Like the Tower of London. And then maybe it's the person that wrangles the falcon.
Yeah. No interest?
No, not really.
Hmm.
Do you have interest?
I do. We have nothing in common then.
I have like a serious phobia of pigeons that like, so I don't like the whole idea of like birds.
Have you been to Venice?
Like flying at my face.
Have you?
I have. Yeah. Have you, that was sort of before the phobia developed, but
when did the phobia develop?
I was working in London for a long time and I felt like the pigeons there are very aggressive and like they fly really close to you. And so I could never tell. You know, it's like traffic. Like you can kind of get the timing of cars and other people and pigeons and vermin in any given city. And in London, for whatever reason, I couldn't figure out the timing. And I just felt like I was walking down the street constantly like,
swooping down.
Yeah.
Pigeon attack. Did you see, you saw birds?
Oh, yeah.
That freaked me out.
But you still want to be a falconer?
I kind of like I sort of like the idea. Well, you know, my falcons could attack the pigeons.
That's true. Easy. That's true. I mean, they definitely serve their purpose, falcons.
Yeah. And imagine how
and
cool
you get
I
to
would
wear,
be.
Yeah, the like, wristband.
You thought I was just the spoof movie queen. Turns out I control falcons.
You actually really should practice that and get going on it because I think when you birds answer the prey. Door... When people come, like strangers come to your house for the podcast, you can answer the door.
Yep.
Or just at a party.
That would be really cool, by the way.
It would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I mean, we've been getting...
Watch out. Oh, here comes swooping in.
We've been getting a lot of fan art. So maybe one of our listeners can design like you with as a falconer. That would be awesome.
Incredible.
Well, let's see who does it first.
You should totally do that. And then you can show up to those Hollywood parties where guys give you the jerk.
My
nod.
Plus one.
Yeah. Here's my... It'll totally change the conversation.
Falcon. Ay, ay, ay. And to my dear listeners, I actually am holding my arm up right now.
She is.
In preparation for the non-existent falcon that might land on it.
Good form. Okay. You have good form.
Thank you. Okay, so here's a question from one of our more annoying fans. This is from @SimSarna on Twitter. You're a single woman who works in sales at a boat showroom in Marina del Rey.
Hmm.
You're on a date at a Spanish tapas restaurant, and it's going great. He's charming, handsome, successful, and he invites you back to his Spanish hacienda, which is only a block away, for an after dinner glass of Madeira. Too many vowels in that. Madeira. As he's pouring you the wine, you notice a collection of ceramic garden gnomes on the shelf above the television. On the shelf above that one, you notice a set of ceramic clowns. A, does either one of those freak you out? If so, why? And B, is it a deal breaker if it does?
It might.
Do you not?
It might slow the night down.
Right.
Let's just put it that way.
But you wouldn't. You wouldn't leave right away. You wouldn't just. You wouldn't head for the exit.
No. What's well, not a deal breaker? What is it when your vagina dries up? What happens? What's it when it's like? It might make the.
I think it's called a drissy. Dry pussy.
It might sew itself closed at that point.
A sussy.
Just hypothetically, because again, this would never happen.
Sewed up pussy. Right. Sussy.
A sewed up pussy is a sussy.
Is there a word for that?
We just invented one. Anna did, at least. A sussy.
All right. So, but gnomes or clowns don't freak you out independently.
Not the. No. It's more just like a collection, a ceramic collection. I mean, if he said like, oh, they were given to me by my grandmother when she died, I'd be like, okay.
But
if
it's
a fixation with, I don't know. That's such a weird situation.
Absolutely. It's incredibly weird.
I'm glad you thought of it.
it was a combination. We started with a boat showroom, and then we went to a completely different direction for no apparent reason whatsoever.
Yeah,
right?
Why did you have the boat?
Because
showroom
that's just what we do.
Well, I wanted you to be sort of a saleswoman, but no, Sim is freaked out by garden gnomes.
I don't like them.
And yeah, so that's sort of where this
they scare open. You.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
What does your
but Sim's easily scared.
I know it's true too.
Right.
I scare him frequently.
She does.
Boo. It's true though. It's weird. You are a little freaked out by things. Are you freaked out? You are kind of.
No, I mean, what do you mean by that exactly?
Well, you're kind of superstitious, right?
I mean, a little. Yeah, I mean, I'll do the same things over and over again. Sure, if that's what superstition is. Sure.
No, superstition, I think that's sort like... of like autism or something, or it's okay. Like. Obsessive compulsive. Yeah.
Maybe. Slightly.
I apologize to the autistic people out there because you're much braver.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So you have to like repeat things. I mean, I totally understand. I could go down a superstition, obsessive compulsive rabbit hole, but I stop myself.
Okay.
So yeah,
I try not to.
Yeah.
I try not to.
Well, actors, I mean, that's the whole thing, though. We do this to ourselves, people in this industry. It's like you can't say good luck because then... whatever, you won't have it. You know what I mean?
Right,
like it
right.
starts at such an early age. And the idea of like, if I don't do this routine before an audition, I won't get the role or whatever. Like you can easily go, just like you said, down the rabbit hole. And then you're just in there. You've made yourself insane in a town that makes you insane anyway. Right? I don't know. Right.
This town.
Aren't you crazy like me?
So I'm gonna call an Uber, and I'll see you guys later. This was really fun. I don't live here, so I don't know. But you're making me really not want to move.
Well, I mean, you know, this town though, it really has given me so many, I don't know, wonderful things.
Oh yeah, no. And first of all, this house is amazing, and. This table is the size of my apartment in New York, by the way. And yeah,
it's
there's a lot of really interesting people in LA.
So,
it's a huge city.
This house, so we bought it with the furniture. Like they sold the house to us with the furniture. Oh. And I had this tiny little mid-century house. And I had this delicate little mid-century furniture at the house. So I'm going to give you a tour. It is a creepy hodgepodge of creepiness between my husband's animal heads and my creepy look at that weird tacky Baroque thing right there. That is gross.
I bet you could take that on Antiques Roadshow and you could retire.
A dear friend of mine.
Nothing we want you to.
Is a nanny for an incredibly wealthy family, and they were getting rid of that, and I was like, oh yes, okay.
Well, because you have so much space that you had to fill up. I get it.
So now it's here. I want to show you what's in there. And also, yeah, like there's all kinds of just, I you know what it is? It's that I have no vision.
Oh, Anna.
But I say this with pride. In an idiotic way. I have no vision. And actually, kind of it's true with our podcast. Like
we have no vision. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we have the vision of it, hopefully, that, you know, we'll have a lot of listeners at some point and whatnot. But really, we understood early on that there was going to be a learning curve and that we would
We've been doing this for a while now, and we have a good amount of listeners.
We have a great amount, and you know what? They're the best listeners in the whole
they
world.
They are amazing. I love them too. I feel like they're all our friends.
They are all our friends, yes. But you know what I'm saying is I that know. No, do you?
Of course I know.
No, you don't.
Yeah, maybe I don't.
Fuck you. Okay. Now.
Sorry, Julia.
That's okay.
One last thing before we take a small urination break.
Yes.
I'm going to build you a sandwich. Okay?
Okay. I mean, and this is an imaginary sandwich?
Sandwich. Okay. Will you tell me warmer or colder as I build your sandwich?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to start with a French baguette.
Warm.
I've sliced it in half.
Good.
I'm going to put a layer of mayonnaise.
A petite layer de mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm. Way. Very, very thin. Very, very thin. And then I will put a little mustard.
Way. Yes.
Way.
Way. I'm French all of a sudden.
Dijon or like French? I mean, or French's or like a...
Seeded? Do we want non-seeded?
Well, it depends on spicy. What else is coming.
All right.
Okay. And then I'm going to put on some turkey breast.
Okay. Yes. Warm.
Okay. And then I'm going to put some prosciutto.
Colder.
Take off the prosciutto.
Sissy. Is that our word for sissy?
There you go.
And then I'm going to put on some foie gras.
Oh, so cold.
Take it off.
Only because the combination, not the good combination.
Yeah. Right.
Removed. Brie. Some thin slices. Nope. Take it off. It's gone.
You can't really slice brie thinly, let's be honest. Provolone, what are we still left with? Oh, turkey?
We have turkey, mustard, and mayo.
Okay.
Okay, and then what about some thin pickle slices?
Again, on another sandwich. Great. Not the combo.
Great.
Yeah, listen, no, we're going to say.
This is your sandwich.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, what about thin slices of, let's say, a hot pepper?
With turkey and provolone. Not really, no.
Okay. All right. What about some shredded lettuce?
Okay. Yes.
Avocado?
Avocado for a schirzel.
Okay.
Tons of avocado. Noted. Tomatoes.
Yes, I like tomatoes.
Let's say like some kind of red pepper jelly, something weird.
I mean, I would go for something weird. Red pepper jelly. I feel like you got the red from the tomatoes. Oh my God, I'm so annoyed with my brain right now.
I feel that way.
By the way,
all
I think like maybe sun-dried tomatoes because that seems like it would go well with
that's
you want to make it weird.
Yeah. Sun-dried tomatoes.
So I think we're in like the Italian. Olives? We're in the Italian zone right
do
now.
Do
so
olives?
Then you don't really. No,
I'm not. Yeah, no, me neither. They hog up too much attention.
I like olives, but not on this sandwich.
I agree with you.
Not this particular sandwich.
Don't you find that some items though do they really do take up too much attention? Like an olive.
Oh, for sure.
On like, a sandwich takes up too much attention.
Yes, garlic, mm-hmm. not so much garlic, maybe more like, what is, like truffles, like everything just tastes like bacon, everything just tastes like
right.
bacon.
Which is wonderful.
Which is amazing.
Exactly, you just have to commit.
Right. Bacon is always amazing on anything.
Yeah. Are you a cheeseburger
But let's
fan?
Not like saute some Brussels sprouts in bacon and not pretend that we're eating bacon.
Oh, no.
Right?
I love that, though.
That does actually sound kind of good. I feel like my stomach growled. I'm sorry. But wait, are you a cheeseburger fan?
I like hamburgers. I haven't really been eating cheese so much.
What do you
that
eat?
That sounds so actressy, but it's just, I actually.
What would you eat at a baseball game?
Oh, well, my favorite actually, I went to Fenway and mm-hmm. I love the, and also I've been to Wrigley Field and the traditional, like we just have hot dogs, popcorn, pretzels, and beer. Is my favorite because you can pick. I don't love the new fangled stadium, even Citi Field where
I'm
have all these
with
elaborate.
You, where they have a Shake Shack.
Like,
and
I don't
have,
go
right.
to baseball games to eat sushi. I'm not going to have raw fish at a stadium.
Absolutely
it's
not.
Happen.
Stick to the basics. Get a
it's
hot
too
dog.
It's too
Cracker
confusing.
Jacks. Always going to go with the classics.
So my favorite thing is the warm pretzel. with mustard.
Amazing.
And beer, which is basically like
yeah,
bread and liquid bread.
And what kind of beer? Do you go for like the domestic, like a Bud Light or a Coors Light, or do you go for more of like a microbrew? Or
well, this is the thing. I mean, they don't really, the microbrews, it seems a little pretentious, but I mean, I love a good microbrew.
Sure.
But it's mostly like Budweiser.
Yeah, you know, I'm with stadiums. You. Bud Light.
I will never be doing a Budweiser commercial after this podcast. Thanks, guys. My dreams have just been
shattered. Or maybe you are. What do you mean? You just said you love.
Yeah.
I don't love it. It's just what's available. So.
All right, now you definitely will be.
That's the new slogan this year, by the way. Budweiser. I don't love it. It's just what's available.
You do love those horses, though. Who doesn't love those old Budweiser horses?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to get back in.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, what are they called? The Clydesdales?
The Clydesdales, yes. All right, so are we ready to call some listeners right now?
Yes. Okay, so we're going to call some random people.
Here we go.
Sim is vetted.
Okay.
And they're going to ask us a problem, and we're going to attempt to give them advice.
Yeah, we're going to call Heather in Michigan right now. She's 28.